You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
All right, gentlemen, here it is. This is the big episode number 22 of the Chick Whisperer program. My name is Scott McKay, and I appreciate you all listening in. Today, we're going to have a show that I think is directly in response to more emails I've gotten in a flurry of time than I've ever gotten before. It just seems like the past few weeks have been, I'm shy, and what do I do about it, over and over again in my inbox. So what I did was I got a guy that I think is one of the very best there is in terms of social dynamics and decoding all this stuff, and I think we're in for an exceptionally good show today. He is the co-host of one of the most popular Virtuosity audio programs, and a guy who, like I said, has become a real good friend of mine. He also happens to be your current month's David D'Angelo interviewee, which I suppose makes him a certified dating guru. Jay Ellis from the Ask Romeo team. Jay, how the heck are you, man?
Fantastic, Scott. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, you've got a big product launch coming out. I know you've been a busy guy, so I really appreciate you taking the time to drop by the show today.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me here.
Yeah, man. This is kind of long overdue. We've been needing to sit down and have a show here for a long time, and so I'm glad it's finally happening. And like I said, the topic today is going to be shyness, and I think this is going to be a real popular one. But before we get to that, we have got a voicemail, and this comes to us from Ryan in St. Louis, Missouri. And let's have a listen to it. What do you say, Jay?
Sounds good. Play it.
Hey, Scott. This is for the Chick Whisperer program. My name's Ryan. I'm from St. Louis. I was giving you a call because I am actually in a relationship, and I've noticed that my girlfriend's starting to slack off a little bit. We're getting to the point where, you know, I'm thinking about proposing and, you know, taking it to the next level, but at the same time, she's really starting to get lazy and, you know, not doing as many of the things that she used to do. Now, keep in mind, I'm telling her communication's not a problem. I'm letting her know what she's doing. But at the same time, I still notice that small drop-off, and basically it's giving me cold feet on the proposal and all that kind of stuff. So if you could answer that question whenever you get a chance. Thanks.
Well, there you go. Short and sweet. It kind of sounds like he's telling us exactly the way it is. What do you say, Jay? What would you tell this guy?
So, yeah, Scott, I think if she's been being very different recently, like she's just started slacking a lot all of a sudden, that there's probably something going on in the relationship dynamic, like not just with her. She doesn't exist in a vacuum here. So it might be worth, Ryan, if you take a look at any lifestyle changes that you've been causing in the relationship over the last little while around the time that she started slacking, you know? And I think some likely culprits are if all of a sudden the playfulness and kind of sassiness, that kind of dynamic in the relationship dies down and you're feeling a little bit mushy, like, okay, I'm going to propose to you and this is a big deal, which, you know, it should be. She might be missing that. It can even go too far, like, if you start subcommunicating or broadcasting that the relationship that you have with her is more important to you than it is to her somehow, that can actually scare her off a little bit. You got to remember, she's got her own set of insecurities and everything else too, especially when it gets close to time to close the deal. And make no mistake about it, proposing to someone and escalating the relationship like that is a major closing the deal kind of thing. People get skittish. Their issues come up, and so yours will and hers will as well, if she smells it coming especially. Women test. They're going to test your masculinity, among other things, and your resolve. And if she has something in her self-image like, okay, I am not worthy of this kind of love or attention, and then you start to shower her with it beyond what she thinks she's worth, one of the ways that she might react is pulling away or trying to drive you away by being obnoxious or uncomfortable. That's a pretty extreme example, but it could even be more subtle than that. I think the place to look where you have the most power is who you're being, taking 100% responsibility for what's going on. And also acknowledging that some amount of stress is going to occur for everyone, and their issues are going to come up around a major life change like that. I don't know. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, the person who cares more about the relationship is the one who's losing control of the relationship. He or she who cares least is in control. You hit the nail on the head right there. It sounds to me here like if Ryan wants to marry this woman, he better just already hang a for sale sign on the motorcycle. He better pretty much just tell his buddies he's not going to be hanging around with them anytime soon. She is going to be the one wearing the pants, because what's going on right now is she is starting to sense that she can push the envelope with him. She can get away with not doing so much. She's kind of getting lazy is the word he used.
Yeah.
And that's the word that's the red flag to me, because it's saying to me that she's kind of testing him, saying, hey, you know what? Do I really have to carry my weight around here? Do I have to do anything that involves work, lifting a finger? Do I have to pay any bills? Do I even have to have a job? This all starts snowballing later as a woman pushes the envelope. Now, this eventually means that my man Ryan, you're going to get pwned here without even realizing what happens. You said that you're taking the lead. You said that you're being a communicator, but she's just not responding to you. One day you're going to wake up and you're going to be doing all the cooking. You're going to be doing all the cleaning, and it's all going to be because you quote unquote took charge and you wanted to be a man because she wasn't doing things. She wasn't getting the job done, so you took over. But what that did was that excused her from doing anything in the relationship, and she will not respect you anymore. I don't like how this is panning out already, because you don't even have a committed relationship with each other, and it's already happening. So all these subtleties are saying to me that this woman is probably looking for a man that she can slack off a little bit with. Now, Jay, you mentioned something about what if there was something in the relationship that happened from a social dynamic perspective that kind of drove a wedge between them. The first thing that came to mind there was something very subtle, actually, and that's that they've fallen into a rut. You know, I got an email from a guy today. You know, he's starting to see this woman, and, you know, like I get so many emails like this, where she came over his house for the first time. She was tickling him. She was being playful, and he didn't kiss her, and she felt completely rejected. And now he's having to go back and say, all right, well, you know what? I know I failed to deploy. Come on over my house, and we'll do this all over again. Well, he's already going to do take two on the same date. And I told him, I said, well, you know, this is going to escalate this time, because she's ready for you. You're ready for her. You're not going to make the same mistake twice. But the danger is now that you're going to get into a rut where she comes over, snuggles with you, watches movies. Then you guys do the wild thing. And without any depth in the relationship, no matter how good the sex is, no matter how cute she is, no matter how amazing you are, if you're doing the same thing all the time, it's going to kill the relationship. I think that there could be a little bit of that going on here. Definitely.
Yeah. Routine is the killer of attraction, and routine is also the killer of arousal and sexual tension. So there needs to be some freshness, some aliveness. People tend to call it the honeymoon period. I think that that is indicative of the problem. In the beginning, everything's new. You're discovering the person. So it's all wonderful. And then people get into their routines, and slowly but surely that goes away. And people get disillusioned when they start to have a less than ideal picture of the other person. So, you know, she may be going through some kind of disillusionment right now, even as you are thinking about escalating the relationship out of routine. You know, it could be that, you know, it's if it becomes too predictable and too boring, she's not getting a big enough range of emotions. That range of emotions thing actually is really critical too. Like, women need to experience a range of emotions in relationships. If you're just giving them affection all the time and being really nice and friendly, they get bored. They want some drama. That's why they watch soap operas. They want emotional richness in their lives. In a relationship where there's a little bit of drama, and it doesn't have to be bad. Like, when I say the word drama, I don't necessarily mean negative. But, you know, for example, you could surprise her with some stuff. You can vary the routine, both in the bedroom and in your social life, especially, you know, if you've been in a relationship for long enough that you're thinking about proposing, and I hope that means it's been at least a year, especially in that kind of scenario, make sure you're still taking her out on dates and don't tell her what they're all going to be. You need to do the work to generate that that romance and that kind of emotional push and pull or emotional roller coaster so that she is in love with being with you. And bragging to her friends about it. That's what you want to have going on. That girl, when she feels like she really enjoys being around you, She's going to do the work it takes to keep you interested. Mm. If she doesn't enjoy being around you, she doesn't see the value in doing the work. She's going to take you for granted.
Yeah, you know, that's true. When you're the guy who has ambition, when you're the guy who takes the lead, the woman wants to support you. She wants to do great things for you. She wants to be a part of supporting you in that vision. I think that's a huge point. One of the things that also came to mind here is you were talking about the honeymoon period. If the honeymoon period is over before you've gotten married, I think you're marrying the wrong woman. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. You know, if you feel like you're settling already, if you feel like things aren't really going well and you're starting to get cold feet, and these aren't just cold feet you're getting as you walk up to the altar, but this is a feeling that you've had for quite some time. You sleep on it, you wake up, and it's still there haunting you, then chances are very, very good you're probably moving into settling with someone here. I would say try to raise the bar. I know it's hard to hear. But if you're telling us the straight scoop here, and this is something you've been thinking about for quite a while, Ryan, you might want to second guess making a lifelong commitment to this particular woman. So on that note, Ryan, I want to give you something special for being so kind as to send us a voicemail. And what I'm going to give you is the engineer's guide to being cooler than the sales guy. You may or may not need it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, because we've made a change to that particular program, and it now comes with a complete transcription so you can listen or read. And that'll be coming your way. And if you guys want to check out what Ryan's going to get there, you can go to www.beingcooler.com and take a look at it. It's pretty popular, although I don't talk about it that much, so I wanted to make sure I mentioned it here. This will be a major component to a future project I'm working on, so this is like getting a sneak preview into that next major project. So if any of you guys want to go ahead and send us a voicemail, it's easy to do. I have a 24/7 line where you can leave a voicemail. No one's ever going to answer it. And that is area code 210-362-4400. Once again, if you're outside the United States, it's +1-210-362-4400. Leave us a concise voicemail and tell us exactly what your deal is, and make it something that other guys on the show might be able to relate to also, so it makes for good content. So thanks again, Ryan, for being a part of the show and for sending us that great question, and we do wish you the very best. So, Jay, it's time to move on, man. Let's talk about shyness, because that's the core topic of what we're going to talk about today. And to get started, what I did was I looked at dictionary.com, and I actually came up with a definition for shyness. You ready for this?
Lay it on me, man.
Shy equals bashful, diffident, implying a manner that shows discomfort or lack of confidence in association with others. Shyness implies a constitutional shrinking from contact or close association with others, together with a wish to escape notice. I think that's pretty key right there.
Mm.
Bashful suggests timidity about meeting others, and trepidation and awkward behavior when brought into prominence or notice. In other words, the person's shying away from being publicly noticed, shying away from the spotlight. Very, very interesting there. I think it was important to go ahead and define the word shyness, because I think a lot of times guys will write in and they'll go, hey, you know what? My shyness is keeping me from meeting women. I'm just way too shy. How does a shy guy pick up women? So what does all this mean to you? When you think of someone who's shy, Jay, what comes to mind?
I think that in that definition you just read, there were a couple of things that really stood out for me that ring as true when I consider shyness. And I can definitely say that there were times in my life when I was shy, and I've definitely been there, and I'm definitely not shy now. So I think the first one out of that definition that really spoke to me had to do with confidence. Like just at a baseline level, your experience of self-confidence. And I think the times in my life when I was the most shy was when I was most insecure or unconfident. And the times in my life when I've been the most outspoken and a social leader have been the times in my life when I'm most confident and sure of myself. And even in a small context, like even long ago, long before I got into this whole dating and relationships and a woman thing, and long before I even got into life coaching, when there was a subject matter, whether it was in school or in some after school activity I was involved in, if there was something that I felt like I knew something about and that I was confident about, I could be a social leader in that context, even if I wasn't in other places.
Yeah, I think that's a huge point. if you really think you're good at something, if you think you've got something nailed down, if you feel competent at it, you'll feel confident about it. I think a lot of guys, especially guys who write in and tell me their stories, it's amazing how many times it looks like these guys are just shy around women they're attracted to. They can go to work and make PowerPoint presentations to, you know, C-level managers. They can get on the basketball court and sink a three-point shot with their buddies around. They're confident in all kinds of different areas in life until they get in front of that one attractive woman, and then they just clam up, and they're attributing that to shyness. But I'm not so sure that's really what's going on. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that's what's going on at all. I think that in general, if someone is quote unquote shying away from a really attractive woman, but he's not acting that way, like he's not acting shy around his guy friends or other people, that would mean there is some specific association he has with attractive women that he's afraid of.
Exactly.
The first place I tend to look is his self-perceived social status. And the second place would be, you know, some specific story he has about attractive women and his luck with them, or, you know, how women relate to him.
Well, I think a lot of guys are dealing with the fact that they think women are somehow very wary of men, and that men have caused a lot of damage and men are inherently bad. And we've talked about that on this show before. And then they get in front of the woman and they don't want to offend her, and they're afraid that they're going to do something that creates drama, or, you know, typically, they may be afraid of rejection. We've talked about approach anxiety time and time again. I think what's really interesting is how when guys say, I am shy, they're saying, I'm not confident. They're saying by definition that I am wanting to avoid situations with women, whereas the confident guy is also going to be the assertive guy. So a lot of getting over this shyness is going to be purely assertion.
Yeah.
Going for it, taking a deep breath and making it happen.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you could see the analogy with the approach, but even it could even happen later. Like, even if you get an introduction to a woman and so forth and you're with her, if you've put a lot of value on her, like she's this amazing woman that you're interested in, and you still don't feel very sure yourself, you know, will you go for the kiss or will you try to hold her hand? I mean, every step of escalation can become nerve-wracking. And fundamentally, underneath all of them, the same issue is going on here. There is that same either level of insecurity, or again, what I've found a lot of times, it's that the guy has made the woman so much higher value than him in his mind, like she's so much higher status in his reality than he is, that it's like he's walking on eggshells. Like, I don't want to mess that one up. You know, I don't want to mess it up. And so the guy ends up being careful. He ends up being careful around her rather than being himself. So at the level of who he's being, he's already, you know, losing, because women aren't attracted to someone who's being careful. They're attracted to someone who's secure and confident. So that can end up with let's just be friends at best.
Exactly.
And he's going to be uncomfortable the entire time anyway. Whereas if he just instead had said, you know what? She's a beautiful woman, and she seems like she's got a lot going on for her that I'd like. I wonder if she and I will connect, or if she's really qualified to hang out with me. Like, if in his mind, his world is that he's high status, and she needs to measure up to him, that feeling of shyness or being really careful around her will disappear, because she won't occur as a threat anymore.
Yeah, you've got this component of taking this competence and this confidence that you feel in other areas and kind of transmuting it over to your interactions with women. And, you know, we talk about the feeling of getting beat by a girl and things like that. And I know you have some different takes on approach anxiety as well. But I really like what you're talking about here, about the fact that this failure to deploy, this shyness, can creep up at any given moment in the interaction. And I think if a guy can really take the confidence that he feels in other ways and bring it into his social interactions, I think that's going to help him get over that shyness. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, you know what? I'm shy all the time. I'm completely socially withdrawn. I may have social anxiety. Well, you take the place where you feel like you can actually go make a difference. If you're interested in a certain hobby, if you have a place where you feel like you can excel, that's the first place to start being social. If you're a great golfer, but you're not very social or you're very shy around other people, the best place I think to start would be to go out and play golf and meet some guys to play golf with and talk about something you know about and be a part of that crowd. Another thing you can do is practice online. You're not really in front of people. I think it's very dangerous to assume that you're just practicing and this is all a simulation when you're talking to women online, because you've got very real people with very real feelings on the other side. But a lot of times when you have that buffer of a computer screen, you can start interacting, especially with women in particular, from an online dating site, and you can start testing the waters. You can say, hey, you know what? I really can form words. Yeah, you need some time to form the words because you're on IM or you're crafting emails. But when you do get the words out, you may find that women respond positively to them. And when they respond negatively, if you're writing creepy stuff or whatever, you can go back and kind of think through what you wrote and re-engineer the process so that you write women better the next time. And as you start seeing improvements, I think you can actually carry over those improvements and start feeling a little bit more confident in real life interactions. At work, start talking to people a little bit more. If you sit around the house all the time, if you do all your banking online, get out and go do your banking at a real bank so you can interact with the teller. And just take every opportunity when you're forced to interact with people as a learning opportunity.
Absolutely. Another thing for people who feel like they're shy overall to consider is putting yourself in structured social mixers. Mm. Speed dating is a great example of this. There's rules. There's a way it's done. You don't have to be responsible for anything. You just get an opportunity to meet one person after the next one, after the next one, after the next one. Take a dance class, a Latin dance class like salsa or something like that, or a swing dance class. It's basically like speed dating on the dance floor, because in the class you'll switch partners over and over and over again. And if you find that, you know, you're shy in social interactions in general, and then you go to a couple dance classes maybe once or twice a week for a month, your social reality will change. You're going to get used to talking to and touching a lot of different women in a structured way where you have an excuse to, and there's rules on how it goes over and over and over again. And that's a really powerful way to have a breakthrough in this.
You know, a lot of times guys, when they write in, they'll talk about being shy, and other guys will use the word introversion. They'll say, you know, I'm this introverted personality. How does an introverted guy meet women? And I think there's a very key differentiation between this concept of shyness, where you're bashful, you're actually lacking confidence with other people, and this whole personality type known as being introverted. Because I know a lot of people who are introverted and are quite confident, but they sometimes feel that the more extroverted type of personality is going to be the one who gets women, the one who's more energized by social interactions. Of course, introversion is sometimes considered in social settings as a negative. You know, there's the old joke about the woman, and someone comments that her daughter is introverted, and she comments back, "How dare you say my daughter is introverted? She's a perfectly lovely girl." Well, there's nothing particularly wrong with being introverted. Introverted by definition means you're energized by being alone. When you're alone and you're in a solitude situation, when you're able to think and create, that's where you find your energy. Whereas an extroverted person is someone who prefers to be in the company of people in order to be energized. They're the ones who can feel very much at home at a party, whereas an introverted person could feel very lonely at a party. And I want to talk a little bit, Jay, and I want to get your opinion on this, about how an introverted guy who's got that personality type can maybe stop seeing it as a negative and maybe even use it to his advantage when meeting women. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. That which you cannot fix feature, and to thine own self be true. Both of those maxims come to mind there. And I think that an introverted guy can definitely meet a lot of high-quality women. In fact, there are some women who prefer to date introverted guys or be with introverted guys. That's what they want.
Agreed. You know, I think there's the strong silent type, right? A guy who has a little bit of mystery to him, a little bit of intrigue, is the guy who doesn't play all his cards at once. He doesn't wear everything on his sleeve. That's the kind of guy, from an introverted personality perspective, who is going to be the absolute best at creating that mystery and intrigue in a woman.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, women like guys who are deep, that they have to like figure out, you know. And so if you're not like Mr. Social Communicator guy out in the main world, you might actually find that you get along best with a woman who has that skill set And then, you know, and she's very social and extroverted, and you're the introverted, quiet side, and you balance each other out a little bit. And even on top of that, she gets to sort of get you to be expressive with her. So there's a side of you that only she gets to see. Women love that.
That's true.
So there are different archetypes of men that are often attractive to women, which we could classify as introverted. Many famous artists are actually pretty introverted guys. And when I say artist, that could be visual art, like painter, could be musician. And that's the funny thing. Like, people think that all the popular musicians are all extroverts. So that is not always the case. Not by a long shot.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you've got people who I think are at their most creative best when they've got that ability to focus, to be involved in something that they're working on by themselves. And women love that ambition. They love that drive. They love a guy with a plan. They love a guy with a big picture. And a lot of times those are the introverted guys. There's no doubt about it. A lot of times the gregarious women, like you're talking about, the real social animals, they're the ones who like a guy who's a little bit more of a dreamer, a little bit more on a different wavelength, because he's providing something to the relationship that balances her. And, you know, I think this kind of makes some guys cringe, but from the woman's perspective, he's going to quote unquote complete her. But that's not a bad thing. If you're bringing something to the table that a woman is really going to be able to respect and admire, you're going to be able to get somewhere with these women where other guys who are more exactly like her would fail. So I think it is absolutely a mistake for a guy to say, well, I'm introverted. There's something wrong with me. See, now that's a social stigma, like we talked about from the outset. Just because you're introverted doesn't mean your social life is doomed. There are ways that you can absolutely excel when you have the right women in front of you, where guys who are the more extroverted types, by personality type, of course, by definition, are not going to be able to excel.
Yeah, introverted has nothing to do with your confidence level. And I think that's the collapse there. Like, people kind of associate being introverted with being shy. And as we discussed earlier, being shy is about not being confident. Whereas an introverted person can be extremely confident. They just don't want to go out and socialize a lot. It's not what lights them up and gives them vitality, like as you described.
Exactly. People lump those terms together, and they're actually very much, I mean, they're barely related.
Yeah. Honestly, at this point in my life, I kind of feel like I have a little bit of both in myself. Like, I need alone time, or I freak out. But if I stay alone too much, I start to get cabin fever and really want to get out and meet people. Like, I kind of feel like I'm a little in both camps, but I have a friend who's very much an introvert. He does not like to go out and socialize at like clubs or bars at all. And although he's done some social jobs, teaching and things like that, he's a writer by choice. He's actually the developer of media relations for my company. He's very introverted, but he's very confident. And when he talks to women, that confidence comes across, and a lot of women get attracted to him right away. You know, he'll be like cocky and playful and fun and things like that in an interaction with a woman, but in a low energy, kind of introverted, this is my world way. He doesn't have to be over the top, or, you know, like the guy from Swingers who's trying to make a scene in every scene that he's in. It's not necessarily about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's this deal where people say, I've got to get over my shyness. And I would agree. There's the differentiator right there between shyness and introversion. You need to get over shyness. You're not going to get over introversion because it's a personality type and it's valid and it's valuable. What you do is you have to leverage that introversion, like we're talking about, in social situations so that you become a man who whose unique gifts shine. You don't have to be this over-the-top social animal like you're talking about to attract the kind of women you'll probably be happier with in the long run anyway.
Another way I think to consider this, Scott, is like, there are a number of introverts around for a reason, and it's because their parents or whoever in their family was introverted and it got passed on. There's been plenty of evidence that introversion is a genetically suitable trait. So you are the product of millennia of successful mating. Ergo, the traits that you've inherited are the ones necessary for successful mating.
Yeah, you've always got to think about things like that. It's always easy to look out and say, hey, you know what? The grass is greener on the other side. I wish I was extroverted. Well, for every one of those introverted guys wishing that, there's an extroverted guy who's coming home from a party or coming home from a night out going, man, I just made a fool of myself. I hope I still have friends in the morning. He's making his own mistakes. He's owning up to his own stuff over there. But I think ultimately, especially if you're reading all this pickup stuff and all about peacocking, it's playing up to guys who are extroverted by nature. And there are plenty of guys out there, myself included, Jay. You mentioned that you have introverted and extroverted sides to you. I'm right there with you. When I take a Myers-Briggs test, which of course is the four letters, and you end up with a personality type, and it says so much about you after you take the test, that first letter that's either an I or an E stands for introversion, extroversion, and by definition, it is what we're talking about. Do I get energized by being alone, or do I get energized by being with other people? And man, I always get absolute dead center scores on the IE. It's amazing. Most people would look at me and think, oh, well, he's absolutely extroverted. But I really do get energized from being alone a lot of times and, you know, developing the products and doing a lot of the things that are more artistic side of what we do here at X and Y Communications. I enjoy that just as much as I enjoy getting on the phone and talking to people. So you just have to leverage what it is that you do best. And, you know, I think we've made a lot of great points on that. And I hope everybody's helped out by it. I want to throw one little wrench in the machine here.
Go for
before
it.
We close this out, I want to completely shift gears and drop a bomb on you. You ready?
All right.
What about shy women? What if you meet a woman and she is shy? How do you take the lead with her? What if you're shy and she's shy? How do you know whether she's really shy or if she's just trying to blow you off? Because that's the first thing that comes to mind. I think guys meet women who are actually inherently shy and they automatically go, well, you know what? She isn't interested in me. And I wouldn't be surprised if women are looking at shy guys going, wow, he must just not be interested in me. How does a guy draw out a shy woman? I think that would be a great conversation to close this out with.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things you mentioned is, how do you know the difference between a shy woman and a woman who's trying to blow you off? My experience has taught me that when a woman does not want to communicate with you, she will leave the scene. So if she's sticking around but just not saying much and you're not sure, call her out and be like, so why are you so shy? You know, with a big smile on your face. You know,
yep.
Make it safe for her and see if she really doesn't want to talk to you, she's going to tell you to go away or she's going to leave, one of the two. You may just need to pace her reality a little bit. You may just need to get into her world and make her comfortable.
Yeah, I think you'll also have to build a little bit extra rapport with her. I think you'll have to focus a little more even than you would with a woman who wasn't shy on security. Make her feel comfortable. You know, Jay, there's so many people, especially women, who will say things like, well, you know, I open up a lot more after you get to know me. And I think that's a dead indicator that she's a shy person.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of women who are at least as insecure as the majority of men. At least. And some women compensate for that by putting on a social act. It's kind of like this mask to cover up for it. And others just stay reserved and shy. But I think as men who have taken on working on our dating and relationship lives and social lives, we tend to be really self-absorbed as a gender. Like, we tend to alter and fix and improve ourselves so we can, like, you know, attract women, approach women, whatever, without considering for a moment that, you know, women don't come out of the box all ready to go and super secure either. They have plenty of insecurities and, like, holes in their confidence and inner game as well. So, absolutely. You know, make sure that she's safe. Make sure that she's comfortable physically, even. Make sure when you're talking to a woman that she feels like she has a physical escape route. Like, you know, she doesn't feel boxed in physically by you. You don't have to stand right in front of her face, squared shoulders and hips, in that kind of full rapport, confrontational fashion. You can stand a little bit to the side, almost like you're side by side, like your old friends. It's much more comfortable for her. You can kind of look at each other from the side and talk that way. Little things like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we as guys just don't get out of our own head. We look at our own problems with approaching. We look at our own problems with women and say, man, I'm so shy. I got to get around my own problem. And then we're talking to a woman and we assume everything that we're dealing with is all our issue. We fail to see that, hey, yeah, you know what? Women really are human beings. So I think no doubt guys need to really take a look at the woman and take a leadership role in helping draw her out. And that involves just getting out from under your own reality. Well, Jay, this has been a fascinating discussion. And guys, I want to let you know that you can absolutely go to www.thechickwhisperer.com, sign up for our newsletter, and you can get that video collection that I'm handing out for free on coolness personified. I think that's kind of a theme we're talking about here, is how to be cool today. So you can go ahead and get that video collection. And if you're already on the email list, you just enter the same email address that you signed up with in the past, and you can get your hands on that too. Once again, that's www.thechickwhisperer.com. Now, Jay, you've got something exciting coming up here. You're going to be launching your first major program, and that's called the Ask Romeo Academy Self-Study Guide, Dating and Attraction 101. And that goes live on July 29th. And tell us a little bit about that program.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something I'm really excited about. My team and I have been working on it very, very hard. And I haven't really seen anything out there quite like this. It's a comprehensive guide to really transforming your social life and dating life, you know, across the board, so that you can meet and be effective with women as well as people in a social setting in general automatically, without having to do anything manipulative or sneaky, powerfully be yourself, really raise your level of confidence in outer and inner ways. And the product is a lot of different components. There's a lot of different stuff going on. We've got a workbook with exercises that you can follow. There's DVDs to watch and audio CDs to listen to, including a couple discs of one of the guys on our staff named Valentino, who's probably the best natural seducer I've ever met in my life. I've never met anyone better with women than this guy. So we've got that in there for you as well, and potentially even some online content. It's a really good total package deal.
And you've got your whole team involved with that, Shrop and Allen and all those guys.
Oh, right? Gosh, yeah. Shrop, Allen, April, incredible.
Now, Jay, another interesting component of this is you're running a little contest, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. This is we're having a fast action contest. It's going to be a lot of fun. The guys who try the free tips and techniques for direct, authentic approaching that we're giving away on those videos and submit and post their responses on our blog, the top three ones are going to get to hang out with us for a week for free in L.A. All our best coaches are going to be there, and we're just going to transform from chump to champ in like 5 or 6 days. So, yeah, it's good stuff, man. I'm excited about it.
That's awesome. So if you guys want to get in on that, you can go get some free videos that Jay's got out already that kind of give you a preview to what this is about. And I would strongly encourage checking that out. And that's at www.thechickwhisperer.com/AskRomeo. So, Jay, this has been a lot of fun. I think a lot of the guys are getting some of the answers that they need in terms of the difference between shyness and introversion and how maybe they can meet some women, regardless of where they are right now, getting out from under that shyness and taking advantage of that introversion. So thanks for joining me today, and I really appreciate you dropping by.
Hey, thank you, Scott. It was a lot of fun. And good luck to Ryan out there.
Yeah, most definitely. So this has been Scott McKay from XMY Communications. You've been listening to episode number 22 of the Chick Whisperer program. Until I talk at you next time, guys, be good.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2008 by the XMY Communications Worldwide Media Casting Network. Be sure to sign up for the XMY Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer Podcast.